Let's look to the Lord in prayer once again, shall we? And now, Father, as we turn to your word, I pray that you would have our hearts. I pray we might be able to clear our minds of those things that would distract us, and that we would listen to the message you have for us. We thank you for this. We're going to trust you for it. In your name, amen. I have shared with you on many occasions over the years that there is someone far greater in charge of what often takes place in this church than mankind. We have a Heavenly Father that so many times orchestrates things, and there's no other explanation for it. I could not help but think that as we were singing Tell It to Jesus earlier this evening. Because when you get to the chorus of that song, Tell It to Jesus, Tell It to Jesus, He is a friend that's well known. You've no other such a friend or brother, Tell It to Jesus alone. We are starting a new short series for the next, couple of months, perhaps, on Sunday evenings. And would anybody care to venture a guess what the topic might be? How about friends? Andrew did not know that when he picked the songs this evening, but the Lord did, and already we have sung a song about friends this evening. And Andrew, for the title tonight, it's just called Friends. That's a hard one to figure out, isn't it? Wonder what he means by that. Well, there we go. Here's some questions for you just to ponder. Do you have any friends? Do you like them? What do you think about friends? Take them or leave them? Do you need friends? When you're looking for a friend, what do you look for? What do you avoid if you're looking for a friend? And if you have a friend, how do you keep a friend? Well, those are just a handful of questions that we could ask about this topic that we're going to be looking at in these next Sunday evenings. Tonight's a scratch the surface intro for it, and these coming Sunday evenings. You know, the scripture actually says quite a bit about friends, and we want to look at some of the things that scripture has to say. And we're going to look at quite a few of those things. But the basis of this whole study in these coming weeks is this verse. It's Proverbs 18:24a. That's the first part of that verse. What's that verse say? Proverbs 18:24a says, "A man that hath friends must show himself friendly." A man that hath friends must show himself friendly. Sometimes people say, "Well, I don't have any friends." I'd hope that's not true with you. Hopefully, we'll learn some things in these coming weeks to stop complaining about not having any friends, and we will start concentrating on being a friend to others. Because a man who has friends, what? Must show himself or herself friendly. Your personality, I hate to burst your bubble, is not like a magnet and metal chips where, you know, you scatter some iron chips around a magnet and what happens? It sucks it up to us. And you say, "Well, I think I'm that kind of a person. I think people ought to just naturally gravitate to me." That's not what Scripture says. We have to show ourselves friendly. "But I'm just not really an outgoing person." Stop complaining that you don't have friends until you start getting out of your shell, out of your comfort zone, and take some effort at becoming a friend to some individuals. Tonight, I want us to consider two things. I want us to consider the treasure of a loyal friend, and number two, the tragedy of a bad friend. The treasure of a loyal friend and the tragedy of a bad one. For that tonight, I invite you to turn with me to 2 Samuel chapter 15. 2 Samuel chapter 15. The context of this chapter in 2 Samuel is the fact that things were kind of falling apart in King David's family. One of his sons, Absalom by name, had really gotten it in his head that here's a good thing to strive for. I think my dad's been king long enough. I think I'll just take his throne. And Absalom rebelled. And you say, "Well, David's faced the giant. His son is no opposition." At this point in David's life, David was kind of a broken man, And when he learned that Absalom was gathering together a bunch of people, David thought, I'd better run for my life. I'd better leave. So we find here in 2 Samuel 15 that it tells us that in that 13th verse, there came a messenger to David saying, moderating this just a little bit. I hate to tell you this, King David, but the hearts of the men of Israel, they're really after Absalom. That was nice counsel to hear, wasn't it? I hate to tell you, but you know what? If we're going to take a popular vote, looks like maybe Absalom would win. And so David made plans to run. And we find here that David left, and we find in chapter 15, verse 32. We're passing over. I mean, there were some of David's friends. They were saying, we want to go with you. You're still our king, this, that, and the other thing. Some came, some stayed. But we pick up our narrative as we're looking at the account of a loyal friend, beginning at verse 32. And it tells us it came to pass when David was come to the top of the mount where he worshiped God, behold, Hushai the Archite came to meet him with his coat rent and earth upon his head. And David said unto him, if you pass on with me, if you come along, you're going to be a burden to me. But if you return to the city and say unto Absalom, Absalom, I will be your servant, O king, just like I was to your father up to this point, so will I now be also your servant. It may be, verse 34 says, that you might defeat the counsel of a very influential man whose name was Ahithophel. Ahithophel had been one of David's loyal counselors. But when Absalom rebelled against his father, Ahithophel decided, I'm going to go with the young buck. I've been with the old man long enough. I'm going to stay with Absalom, and I will offer my counsel and advice to him. That was a very concerning issue to David because over the years he had learned that this man, Ahithophel, who had now turned traitor, was a very wise man. David had benefited over the years from the counsel that this man, Ahithophel, had given to David. And this was a problem in David's mind. Leaving, and Ahithophel had flopped camps, and now, instead of remaining loyal to David, was going to offer his counsel to Absalom. And when this man It's hard to keep these names straight. This man that we're reading about now, starting in verse 32, Hushai, the Archite, came and said, I want to go with you. David said, if you go along, you're going to be a burden to me. I don't know whether he had some physical issues. I don't know whether he was an elderly man. But David said, I would like you to go back. You would be more helpful to me if you would return back to the city and offer your services to my son Absalom and tell him, I want to serve you just like I served your dad all these years. And David said, it might be that the counsel you give my son Absalom would defeat what I know Ahithophel is going to be telling him. So, and it says in verse 35, and hast thou not there with thee Zadok and Abiathar the priests? He said, not only do I want you to go back and offer your help to my son in hopes to defeat the counsel of this other man, this traitor, but he said, there are two loyal priests, Zadok and Abiathar, and it shall be, verse 35, whatever you hear in the king's house, when you start hearing some plans being made, you tell it to Zadok and Abiathar, the priests, and they have there with them two sons, Jonathan, Abiathar's son, and Ahimaaz, Zadok's son, and by their sons, they can get word to me, the council that's taking place. Do you understand the situation? David was running for his life. His own son had rebelled against him, and David knew that he possibly would be in trouble because some of David's previous counselors had chosen to stay behind and now counsel and advise Absalom, David's rebellious son, and David came up with what he hoped would be a successful plan to defeat counsel that might cost him his own life. So everything is all set. And we find that that's what Hushai the Archite did. We don't see it, but we see him because he turned around and went back. He basically said, okay, King David, you can count on me. I will be an undercover agent. I will keep my ears open as a spy, and I will let you know what kind of counsel Ahithophel offers to your son Absalom. As we move on, we find here in the next chapter, in verse 15 of chapter 16, Absalom and all the people, the men of Israel, came to Jerusalem, and Ahithophel with them. That's the man David was concerned about. But it came to pass when Hushai the Archite, notice what he's called here, David's friend, was come to Absalom, that Hushai said unto Absalom, God save the king, God save the king. He was putting on a pretty good act, wasn't he? And Absalom said to him, "Is this the kindness that you give to your friend?" I mean, Absalom said, "Wait a minute. You've been a loyal friend of my dad's all these years." Verse 17, "Why wentest thou not with your..." Why did not you go with your friend? Verse 17 says. And Hushai said unto Absalom, "Nah, I'm going to stay with the one that God's chosen. That's the one, and I will abide with him." And again, verse 19, "Whom should I serve? Should I not serve in the presence of his son as I served in your father's presence?" Then said Absalom to Ahithophel. So, has David's plan worked? Yes. Absalom did not suspect that Hushai the Archite was an undercover spy. And sure as shooting, that which David feared begins to take place, because our next verse, verse 20, "Then said Absalom to Ahithophel," this wise man that David feared, "Give counsel among you, what shall we do?" Ahithophel gave some counsel, and we move on to that was how to really shame David, offering to give counsel and violate David's concubines. Set up a tent right in the middle of the village, and that'd really shame your dad. That'd show that you have no concern for him. He did it. Chapter 17, Ahithophel said unto Absalom, "King Absalom, let me now choose 12,000 men, and I will pursue after David tonight. I will sneak up on him while he's weary and weak-handed, and I'm going to make him afraid, and all the people that are with him will flee, and I will smite the king only, and I'll bring back all of the people who went away with him, and I will fortify your ranks. I'll bring back all these people with their king gone. They'll now be your loyal subjects." Notice verse 4. What's the plan? Ahithophel said, "Let me get 12,000 of my men, and I'm going to sneak up on him in his camp tonight. I'm only going to take the king. I'll kill him, and we'll bring all the people back." Verse 4 of chapter 17. "And the saying pleased Absalom and all the elders of Israel." But notice, God was behind this, because Absalom then said, "Well, I like the sound of that," verse 4, "but, you know, bring me Hushai the Archite. He also is a wise man, and I would like to hear what he has to say." Now, Hushai is the man that is loyal to David. And when Hushai was come to Absalom, Absalom said in verse 6, "This is what Ahithophel told us we ought to do. Get these 12,000 men and sneak up and this, that, and the other thing." And he said, "What do you think about that? Should we do it or shouldn't we?" Verse 6. And Hushai said unto Absalom, "Oh my, that counsel of Ahithophel that you've given is not good at this time." In reality, it would have been the end of David. And Hushai came up with an alternate plan. And he said, you know my father, verse 8, and his men, they're mighty men, and they have their angered, chafed in their minds as a bear robbed of her whelps in the field. And thy father is a man of war. He's not going to be sleeping with his men in the camp. I mean, this plan that Ahithophel came up with, we'll just take 12,000 men, we'll march into the camp, get the king and so on. You're not going to find my father because he's too smart to sleep. Well, this was something to destroy Ahithophel's counsel. And he said, verse 9, by now he's in some pit or he's in some other place, and it'll come to pass when the battle begins and some of them are overthrown, whoever hears of it, they're going to say there's a slaughter among those that follow Absalom. And he that's valiant, whose heart is as the heart of a lion, why, they'll utterly melt. For all Israel knoweth that your father is a mighty man, and they which are with him are valiant men. So, in other words, he was coming up with a totally different thing, and he said in verse 11, here's what I counsel you to do. Let all Israel be gathered together. Not just 12,000, like Ahithophel said. Get all the people together. From Dan to Beersheba, and it'll be as the sand of the sea in multitude, and that you go to battle yourself. You go in person. Take everybody with you. And when we come upon him, verse 12, in some place where he'll be found, we'll light upon him as dew falleth on the ground, and of him and all the men that are with him, there shall not be left so much as one. And if he's gotten into some city, why, we'll gather ropes and we'll pull that city into the river. We'll pull it down with ropes. We'll completely overwhelm him and overpower him. And that's how we'll get your father. Verse 14 of chapter 17. And Absalom and all the men of Hushai said, or all the men of Israel said, the counsel of Hushai the Archite, David's friend, is better than the counsel of Ahithophel, because the Lord has had, get this, the Lord had appointed to defeat what kind of counsel of Ahithophel? What's your Bible say? Good counsel. It would have been David's life that night. But the Lord worked it so that good counsel of a traitorous friend would be defeated. And so we see Hushai said to, defeat the good counsel of Ahithophel to the intent that the Lord might do what to Absalom, the son who was rebelling against him? Defeat him. And then we see here in verse 16, we see that David sent to 15 and 16, Hushai said unto Zadok and Abiathar, this and this and this is what I have counseled, and you get word to David. So they got word to David, and we find that we discover that verse 22, David arose and all the people that were with him, and they passed over Jordan by the morning light. There lacked not one of them that had gone over the Jordan. In other words, what did God do to David through the good counsel of his loyal friend? He spared his life, didn't he? And God had more plans, more things for David to accomplish. And by morning light, there wasn't any army of David left this side of the Jordan. They had gotten word and they had all run for their lives during the night, thanks to the loyal counsel of a friend. I like this. Verse 23. When Ahithophel, now, who's he? He's the traitor. He's the one that used to give David such good counsel. Now he had given Absalom good counsel, but the Lord overturned it. And when Ahithophel saw that his counsel was not followed, he saddled his ass, arose, got him home to his house, to his city, put his household in order, and what did he do? He hanged himself. He was so frustrated that Absalom did not listen to the counsel that he had given. He went home, committed suicide, and was buried in the sepulchers of his fathers. Well, the account, the treasure of a loyal friend. Well, aren't all friends good and loyal? I mean, Hushai the Archite, look at the contribution of his friendship to David and how that God blessed that. But we want to see, secondly, the example, the tragedy of a bad friend. And we go back a couple of chapters from where we started, and we go back to chapter 13. Back to chapter 13. We're still in David's family, and we're still looking at some of David's sons. In fact, Absalom, the son who rebelled against his father, he's a part of the star of this story. Let's look at these first five verses. It came to pass after this that Absalom, the son of David, had a fair sister whose name was Tamar. And Amnon, the son of David, loved her. And Amnon was so vexed that he fell sick for his sister Tamar. For she was a virgin, and Amnon thought it hard for him to do anything to her. But Amnon, I said Ammon a minute ago, it's Amnon, A-M-N-O-N. Amnon had a friend. We all like friends, don't we? Look at the good friend David had. Amnon, he too had a friend, and his name was Jonadab, the son of Shimeah, David's brother. You do the reckoning, and actually the friendship was between what? Two cousins. Well, cousins are good friends, aren't they? They sure can be. Cousins. And Jonadab was what? He was a very subtle or crafty man. And he said unto Amnon, why are you, being the king's son, lean from day to day? What's bothering you? Obviously, something is on your heart. Lean from day to day. You've got something on your mind, and why don't you just tell me what it is? Lean from day to day. Maybe he wasn't even eating. I don't know. But obviously, Amnon's cousin, Jonadab, could tell something was bothering his cousin, his friend. And Amnon said unto him, I love Tamar, my brother Absalom's sister. And Jonadab said unto him, I got a plan. And here's what you do. You go go in your bedroom and you lay on your bed and you pretend that you're sick. And when your father comes to see you to find out what's wrong, say unto your father, Dad, would you let my sister Tamar come and give me some meat and dress or cook the food in my sight that I may see it and eat at her hand? That's the plan. What could be wrong with that? Sounds like good counsel, huh? Well, the rest of the chapter, we read the story and we know the tragedy. Amnon lay down, verse 6, he made himself sick. And when the king was come to him, he said, I want you to send Tamar, my sister, and or Absalom's sister. She would have been a half-sister to Amnon. I'd just like to have you send her and have her prepare a meal for me. And I'd like to just watch her cook it and talk with her and, you know, enjoy what she has prepared, what she has provided. David sent home, verse 7, to Tamar, saying, go now to your brother Amnon's house and dress meat. And so Tamar went to her brother Amnon's house, and he was doing his part. He was laid up in his bedroom in bed, and she took flour, kneaded it, made cakes in his sight. She baked the cakes. She took a pan, poured them out before her, but he refused to eat. And Amnon said, get all the men out of here. Get these servants out of here. Any signal lights flashing with anybody here? And they all went out, every man from her, or from him. And Amnon said to Tamar, bring the meal into my bedroom. And I'd like you to feed me. Well, he's laying it on, isn't he? And Tamar took the cakes which she had made, and she brought them into the chamber or bedroom to Amnon, her brother. And when she had brought them unto him to eat, he took hold of her. All of a sudden, he's not sick anymore. And he said unto her, come lay with me. Come to bed with me. And she answered and said, no, my brother, do not humble me or force me. This ought not to be. This ought not to be. This is not good. This is folly. This is terrible what you're asking me to do. And she goes on, she says in verse 13, whither shall I cause my shame to go? If you shame me like this, what's going to happen to me? She said, I'll have no place to go. And as for you, you'll become a fool in the minds of the people for what you've done. She said, here's what you need to do. Speak unto the king. Ask my father, and he would give me to you, but don't force me. Verse 14, howbeit he would not hearken unto her voice, but being stronger than she, forced her and lay with her. Then Amnon hated her exceedingly, so that the hatred wherewith he hated her was greater than the love wherewith he had loved her. And he said unto her, get out of here. We see the point. What a tragedy of the counsel of a bad friend. Well, in the weeks to come, we're going to look at all kinds of friends and friendships. Tonight we've looked at two extreme opposites. We've looked at how good a loyal friend can be, and the support and the contribution they can make to one's life. But we've also flipped that coin over and we've seen what a tragedy to have among your friends those that would counsel you to do something so sinful and so wicked. But there are people like that. Well, I trust you'll look forward to the weeks to come and the messages that are going to follow as we continue on taking a look at some more friends next Sunday. Let's stand and we'll be dismissed, shall we? Father, thank you for this new topic that we can begin, and I do pray that in the coming weeks we can be instructed by it. Friends are so important, and the right kind of friends are so important. We've seen that even tonight. I pray that as we go, you would bless the week that is before us. Help us to be good friends. Help us to, in these coming weeks, to be instructed, taught by you, how to be better friends. We thank you that you, Lord Jesus, are the greatest friend we could ever have. Dismiss us with your blessing as we go. In your name I pray, amen.